Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
LJ, it's great to be back. It seems like it's been a while since we've done a scoop, but great to see you. There's been plenty happening since we last spoke, or not since we last spoke, since we last spoke on the podcast. But we've got Elisa Healy joining us on the show ahead of a big summer of cricket for the Aussies. But before we get to Elisa, LJ, there's been a bit going on. You've been in Vanuatu. There's been a WBBL draft. WNCL is back and the Aussies are back in action against the West Indies. So firstly, LJ, would love a rapid summary of your time in Vanuatu.
Yeah, that was a bit of an unexpected trip in the end. Went over for the ICC T20 World Cup East Asia Pacific qualifiers, which is the first step towards qualification for next year's World Cup in Bangladesh. There's seven nations from the East Asia Pacific region playing off for one spot in next year's global qualifier. So it's very cool to go over there and do some commentary on the live streams. There's a bit of a development program. We had Mel Jones and Catherine Fitzpatrick and Julia Price over there doing mentoring as well. And it's just a really cool opportunity and to learn about cricket in a different part of the world.
Talk us through, like, what's the state of the game like there? Is there a lot of passion for cricket?
Yeah, it is. It's it's obviously very, very different to what we're used to in Australia. It's, you know, players aren't on contracts aside from the Papua New Guinea girls. So it's all very different, but loads of passion. And it was really cool to see Vanuatu win the tournament for the first time. And they're going to go off and play overseas next year in a new region and in the global qualifiers, which is really cool.
Oh, so good. Yeah, it looked like great scenes over there. And so while you were in Vanuatu, we had the inaugural WBBL draft, which I was at. So it was an interesting night. I guess it's probably didn't shake up the squad lists as much as we maybe thought the draft would. A lot of clubs passed in the latter rounds, which maybe meant they were leaving a little bit of room in the budget for local players, and as well a few clubs using the direct nomination rule, which allows clubs to sign international players directly, bypassing the draft. So I guess the big news out of the WBBL draft, so everyone was talking about whether the Scorchers would retain Sophie Devine or Marizanne Kapp, two of the best players in the world. Thunder had the number one pick and they naturally picked up Marizanne Kapp, and the Scorchers elected to pass on Marizanne Kapp, which meant, and then the Scorchers stayed with Sophie Devine. So it'll be interesting seeing Marizanne Kapp in the lime green. It should be good for the young Thunder squad. But what did you think about the draft, LJ? Any reflections?
Yeah, obviously that Kapp-Devine decision was the really big one that everyone wanted to see how that would play out. I think I didn't expect as many passes as we saw. A lot of teams did opt to take the direct nomination route, which was very interesting to see. I think one of the most interesting things we saw happen was with the strikers who passed in the first round because they were probably hoping to not have to pay platinum price for Laura Wolvart, and they knew they'd be able to retain if someone else tried to nab her in the second round. But then the Stars kind of called their bluff a bit and opted to take Wolvart at a platinum price in the second round, which forced the strikers to pay platinum to retain her. So good bit of gamesmanship there from the Stars, and it probably was the difference between the strikers being able to retain Deandra or keep Deandra Dotton or not. In the end, they went for Danny Gibson at a silver price. Is that around us. So it was probably one of the more interesting things that came out of the draft.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, as you mentioned, Danny Gibson to the Strikers. She's one of the new names in the WBBL. Bryony Smith to the Hurricanes. That was a bit of a curveball. So I'd never heard of Bryony Smith before. So looking forward to seeing what she can do in the Hurricanes.
Yeah, Bryony opened with Lizelle Lee in the 100.
Well, Georgia Adams has signed with the Strikers via the direct nomination. So, yeah, it seems like the Strikers have been thinking pretty deeply about how they were going to build their list this year. I guess they've got some top Australian talent and it would be hard to fit all those players within their budget.
Yeah, and I think Luke Williams was over at the 100 assistant coaching at the same team as Georgia Adams. So he clearly got to see what she's about and hasn't debuted for England, but has been a very, very good domestic player in recent seasons. So it'll be really cool to see how she can go in the WBBL.
Yeah, very exciting. And while we're on domestic cricket, WNCL is back. Very strong start from the Scorpions, and New South Wales and Queensland split the wins over the weekend. But comfortably the most exciting bit of the WNCL season opening weekend is the fact that Meg Lanning is back.
Meg's back.
She's back. LJ, we were both just sitting at those screens watching Meg's return, being like, oh, feels right again. Feels right to see Meg playing cricket. And she made, looked like she hadn't missed a beat.
Just 51
off 48. Yeah, straight back into it. So good to see.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't be seeing her for Australia in this series. She's sort of working her way back up to international cricket. Hopefully, this is a really good sign that she'll be back for the India tour in December.
Yeah. So hopefully, this is a good starting point. And hopefully, as well, we can see her in the green with the Melbourne Stars as well. But no, Alisa Healy, who, as we mentioned, is joining us on the show after this, she'll be keeping the captaincy role, steering the ship for the Aussies. So we've got three T20s and three one-dayers against the West Indies starting on Sunday, the 1st of October at North Sydney Oval. So Alisa Healy is playing her 250th game in green and gold. And it's also Megan Shute's 100th T20 for Australia. So any listeners who are in Sydney, that's as good a reason as any to get down to North Sydney Oval on Sunday, support the Aussie girls and get around Alisa Healy and Megan Shute for some pretty big milestones.
Yeah, absolutely massive. And it should be a really special day on Sunday. So definitely people should get along on Sunday and on Monday too, which I believe is a public holiday in Sydney.
Alisa Healy. Oh, we got a friend. What's the dog's name?
Misty, this one.
Alisa Healy and Misty the Staffy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to you both for joining us today on the Scoop podcast. As you'll know on this show, we ask the most pressing questions first. So, Midge, are you able to tell us, are you or are you not on The Masked Singer?
It is hot off the press that it could well be me, but I can confirm that it's not me.
Sad.
Was a little bit excited though that Mel B thought it was me, because I mean, I was a Spice Girl fan growing up and I didn't know she knew who I was, and she probably doesn't. But I mean, that was pretty cool. Kind of a shame.
So if you were theoretically on The Masked Singer,
yep,
what song do you think you would like to sing?
Well, I mean, my go-to karaoke song is Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. So, I mean, I could really roll with that. But I feel like flavour of the month, maybe some Taylor Swift could be a go.
That is the flavour of the month.
Yep.
Nice.
That's one. And so if you haven't spent your last few months dressing up as an avocado, what have you been up to and how are the fingers tracking?
Can confirm I haven't been an avocado. look, the last few months I've been doing like a little mini pre-season again to get myself up and ready for what is going to be a really busy summer schedule. So enjoyed some time at home with the dogs. Mitch has been at home as well, so kind of lucky in that regard. But yeah, just preparing myself and my body to go hard for the next, what, 5 or 6 months that we're on the road. So it's been a nice little break.
Are the fingers feeling like, are they back to 100%? Is the swelling gone down?
It's still a little bit crooked. So, I mean, I'm not sure that's ever going to change, unfortunately. But, oh, look, I can do, well, what I was able to give myself was a little bit of time to rest it and hopefully get it back to some sort of normal, which has been nice instead of playing an extra 4 weeks of cricket. That's been good, but yeah, I'm back batting and catching and everything, so hopefully it, touch wood, there's no further problems.
Yeah, hopefully. And was it good to get back out there with the breakers at the weekend, and was it a bit different not being behind the stumps?
It was thoroughly enjoyable, actually. It's, I'm one of those wicketkeepers that loves having a run around in the field every now and then, except for when the ball comes to me. I don't really know what to do or how to dive properly. So, but yeah, it was really nice to get back out with the breakers. The vibe around that group at the moment is just a lot of fun, and they're really enjoying their cricket together, which is great. And we were able to just slot back in and enjoy that. So that was good. But yeah, it was fun having a run around the field. I tried to plonk myself where the ball wasn't going to go for a lot of the time, but it seemed to find me a lot on the Friday, and then I seemed to avoid it a bit on Sunday, which was lucky.
Talk us through the catch. You looked pretty happy that it stuck.
Well, I got given a grade one for that. So they only gave it like 1 point. So apparently you're supposed to take them every time. Nothing to it. Apparently it was all in slow motion. It looked like I probably could have got there a lot faster, but being 33, I did the best I could, and like, I caught it. It's all that matters. And Jono was getting himself set for a big one, so I'll take it.
And so will you be taking the gloves on Sunday when you're back in the green and gold?
Well, I presume so. I mean, I might have to fight Moons for it, but I dare say that if there's even an inkling of me not wicket-keeping, I probably wouldn't be playing. So I think Moons is a bit better in the field than I am. So, yeah, I'll be back in the gloves and hopefully just avoiding injury.
Okay, good to hear. And while we're on the topic of WNCL, Midge, LJ and I were very happy watching Meg Lanning back on our screens this afternoon. Dare say you felt the same?
I haven't seen any of it, but I admittedly checked the scorecard when I got home from training just to see how she went. And, yeah, it was nice to see her back out there striking out over 100. And, yeah, I just saw a little clip of her whacking one over mid-off. So that was nice to see. I guess every cricket fan, me included, wants to see her back out there enjoying her cricket. So, yeah, it's a pleasing sign, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And it's been a couple of months now since the end of the Ashes. How do you reflect back on that series now and retaining the Ashes over in England?
Yeah, I mean, I was exhausted. I think I can't remember which English player I spoke to after, at the back end of our Ireland series, and they were saying they can't believe we went across for more cricket. They were exhausted just like we were. So I guess on reflection, it just showed what an intense and hotly contested series it was and how challenging it was for us as players to get out there and perform. So, yeah, it was upon reflection. I mean, we could have done a few things a little bit better at the back end, but in hindsight, I think it sort of reflected our preparation leading into the Ashes series, and we put a lot of work into the test match and playing with the Dukes ball for the first time. That's naturally what you're going to gravitate to make sure that you're looked after in that area, and we did a lot of prep on that and thought, you know, our white ball would be okay because we're traditionally really good at that, so it probably just reflected that. But I mean, it's given us a great opportunity to come home and reflect and sort of find some little areas that we can improve on, which I think is only going to make our team and us as individuals even better moving forward, which I think is a fantastic outcome that we can come home with the trophy and also come home with some learning. So I'm really grateful for that, and the opportunity to captain obviously was a whole new experience, but one that I really enjoyed.
And so you mentioned the opportunities to come together and reflect. Did you do that in Ireland, or have you had a chance to all get together over the last couple of months ahead of this series against the West Indies to talk about what can potentially be improved?
Yeah, we had a little opportunity to get together. Everyone was in Sydney for some filming and got together as a group. But I think I've heard a lot of different conversations over the last few weeks of different people at home, just chatting about some things that, you know, they're looking to bring into their game or improve on or whatever it might be. And I think the fact that we came together as a group and just had a chat about it and then obviously with, you know, a series against West Indies coming up, we got a trip to India and then another home series is, you know, a couple of months worth of opportunity to put a few things in place and try a few things that's going to make us better. So it's kind of exciting. I think it's a new little time for our group to almost re-evolve. I think we did a great job of that. It's been well documented since that 2017 World Cup, but I think it's a great opportunity now to reset some goals and work out how we can continue to push the bar, which raise the bar for ourselves and to just keep, you know, improving the standard.
And as you mentioned, the international summer of cricket starts on Sunday. What sort of challenge are you guys expecting from the West Indies?
Everyone's beating everyone in international cricket at the moment, which, I mean, is super exciting for our game. And I think the West Indies can beat anybody on any day, given the firepower that they have in their lineup. I'm expecting a tight contest, especially in the T20 formats. I think that's really where their strength lies. you know, they got one of the best players in the world in Hayley Matthews leading the side as well. So, yeah, they're not short of talent. We're expecting them to come out really hard and hit lots of bombs and bowl really fast and with some skill as well. So it should be a good contest and one I think our group's really looking forward to.
Midge, being Australian captain, talk us through how you found it. Like, what's different to not being the captain? What surprised you about it? What do you enjoy about it? And what's challenging?
I'll tell you one thing, it's busy. I mean, yep. I'm used to sort of just rocking up on tour, getting what I need in the nets or have a catch and then go play golf or go and switch off for the rest of the day. But more often than not, there's like three or four other different things that you've got to do on any given day and think about things and go and catch up with plans and meetings and whatnot. So I will say it's busy. But, you know, at the same time, I think I really enjoyed that as well. I think I enjoyed learning and I enjoyed the opportunity to sort of learn a bit more about myself and my teammates as well, which was fantastic. And yeah, there's a lot of learnings that I'll take from the Ashes, moving forward for however long I'm gifted this opportunity. It's something that I can just take forward to go, well, this is how I can try and be a little bit better, not just for myself, but also for my teammates and try and make it as easy as I can for them to go out there and achieve what they want to, but also just perform as well as they can for the team. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a really enjoyable experience. It was stressful, I won't lie. I think I got a few different grey hairs going on, but at the same time, yeah, hugely grateful for the opportunity, especially at, you know, a point in my career to be able to learn a bit more about yourself, I think has been really cool.
And by all means, you can shut us down if you don't want us to jinx anything here. We definitely don't want to jinx anything, but you are set to play game number 250 on Sunday. Yeah, what does it mean to you to reach that kind of milestone?
Yeah, it's daunting as all hell, I won't lie to you. I mean, every time it gets mentioned, I just feel older and older. So that's a lot of cricket. That's a lot of warm-ups. I mean, that's not even domestic games in that. That's just for Australia. So it's a lot of cricket. But, when you're growing up wanting to play for Australia, you'd take just one game, won't you? And I'm really lucky to have played 249 of them. And fortunately, I still feel like I've still got a little bit to give. So to get over that 250 mark would be really special. And I think actually Mitch played his 250th in the last game of the Ashes series. So to have 500 games in the household, is a pretty remarkable feat. And I think one we're both quietly pretty proud of.
Yeah, very cool. And no disrespect to the beautiful grounds of Clontarf Cricket Club in Ireland, but to potentially tick off this milestone at North Sydney Oval with maybe some friends and family in the crowd should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Clontarf is really cool, don't get me wrong, and, I get to sit there and watch Phoebe and Annabelle just do my job even better than what I thought I could do, so. But look, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, and maybe that little knock to the finger was exactly what I needed, A, to come home and have a rest, but B, also to get the opportunity to pass a milestone at home. I mean, I hate milestone games. They've never gone very well for me, so hence why I've been trying to keep it on the down low.
Right, sorry.
but, I mean, to do it at North Sydney Oval, which is, you know, a fairly iconic ground for us in the women's game, is, it's pretty special, so I'm pretty lucky.
And if you had to sum up your cricket career so far in one word, what would you say?
I don't know. inconsistent comes to mind. Our worst critic, I've been told. Look, I think I'm just going to say fun. I think, I'm really lucky that, I've had a 13, 14-year-long career at the international level that I've thoroughly enjoyed every moment of it. I mean, there's some times where, you know, you don't want to walk out the bat because you're not sure what's going to happen. But I can genuinely say that I've really enjoyed my time right throughout. There's been some challenging times, don't get me wrong, but I think the good times have outweighed them. So I've been really lucky so far.
Very good. And what's keeping you motivated, Midge, to keep playing cricket at the highest level at this stage of your career?
Yeah, well, it's a fantastic question and one that I get asked, you know, quite a lot, especially by, you know, SSSM staff and people that keep prodding and poking at me to try and improve myself every day. But I think that is the answer. I feel like, you know, cricket is one of those games that you never truly master. I mean, Don Bradman got as close as anybody's ever going to get, but still wasn't perfect. So, you know, the fact that at 33 I'm still learning a bit about myself and a bit about my batting in particular, and, you know, some areas that I can open up to improve, I think is has been really cool. And I've also been really lucky over the last couple of seasons to be afforded some new different opportunities, whether it be playing the WIPL, captaining your country, and ticking off some milestone-y things that, you know, it just keeps you going and keeps you refreshed and reinvigorated. So, I've been really lucky in that regard, and hopefully, I can just go out there and keep enjoying myself, really.
And has the growth of the game played a part in that too? Like you mentioned the WIPL coming along, but all these other opportunities and things that are in the game now that maybe weren't there when you started?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I can safely say that it's never about the paycheck. It's about going and being a part of these opportunities. I mean, I've watched Mitch sort of be a part of these opportunities in the men's game for a long period of time, wondering, you know, if this would ever happen in the women's game, or, oh my God, how cool is this experience? Like, will we ever get an opportunity? So for me, it's like, I feel really lucky that they're happening, and I go, oh, I can go and do that. I can go and be a part of something amazing like that. And, you know, the IPL was a really big one to be able to go and experience. So, yeah, we're lucky at the moment, and the game just continues to grow right around the world. And for us as players, it feels like you'll kind of play a small part in helping achieve that. So it's, it's a nice little thing, a nice little bonus to going out there and playing the game. It's sort of a nice little extra bit, which is awesome.
And as we've seen with Matildas taking over everyone's life over the last couple of months, women's sport is going gangbusters around the world. What do you think cricket needs to do to stay at the forefront of this movement?
I think the biggest focus for cricket over the next little period is getting people to the games. I mean, we talk about how heavily watched it is. It's a sport that you can have on the TV all day, every day, and just sort of float in and out and watch it. I mean, I do it when the test matches are on in the summer. I float in and out of the house and I'm watching the boys play. But we need people at the games. I think the Matildas the World Cup as a whole has shown that people will turn up if you put two great teams against one another in a great setting. And I think the Ashes was proof in that as well, that you put two good teams on a good surface, people want to come and watch. So I think that's the next step for cricket in this country in particular, is how do we get more people to the games? And I think, you know, having those big stadium games at the WBBL again will go a long way to that. And also, you know, having international games, we got a test match at the WACA against South Africa. We've got opportunities to play at the big grounds again, which I think is really important. And yeah, we just want to see people show up and have a good time and enable them to come and have a good time at appropriate hours of the day. So that's probably the next step. And I think we're making good strides in that direction. And then we'll obviously see what happens after that.
And do you feel like with the WBBL stadium series, do you feel like that's the right step and it feels like the right time to take the WBBL to the next level?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've always sort of been a believer of potentially merging the two competitions back together again at some point. And, you know, this feels like a step back in that sort of direction, which, you know, I don't necessarily mind. I love the fact that there's two teams in one franchise and we never get to spend any time together because our competitions are so far apart. So, yeah, I think it is a great step. And I think, you know, the Sixers to play in the Thunder at the SCG is such a great contest, and I think it's the last game of the WBBL tournament, which is awesome. And hopefully both teams are vying for the finals, or hopefully the Sixers can knock the Thunder out of the final series or something like that. I mean, just to make it even more spicy. But yeah, look, I think it's a step in the right direction. And you know what, I'd love to see, you know, the seasons at some point overlap again in that school holiday period. I think it's vital for the game to continue to see more and more people at the games, and obviously young kids as well. I think that's where we're really aiming at.
Have you chatted to Rachel Haynes, head of Sydney Six, as much? It feels like she's in a pretty good spot to influence the game in this kind of way.
You know what, it's been a little bit awkward in the offices at the moment, because like technically she's my boss and I'm not quite sure how to operate around Rachel Haynes as my boss. I keep walking past with my head down and sort of like, hello, Rachel Haynes, boss lady. And I'm not sure if she knows that she can still have a joke with me or not. It's a little bit uncomfortable at the moment. So, but look, I think once maybe I'm in my Sixers shirt and we get on the road or whatever it might be, and I'm getting in trouble for saying the wrong thing, maybe it might lighten the mood a little bit. But no, she's doing an amazing job. She's always in between meetings when I see her. Either that or she's avoiding me. She's always in between meetings. So she's busy lady at the moment, and I've got no doubt she's got some great things in store for the Sixers this summer.
Nice, nice. Oh, I'm sure you'll be able to catch up soon. Thank you very much for joining us on The Scoop today. Always a pleasure to chat to you, and we can't wait to watch you and the Aussie girls back in action, and all the best for game number 250.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.